Monday, Mr. Relevant, episode 239. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, that's all studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Hunter Vaughn's back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Let's have a day, baby. Let's have a day. 10 days away, the NFL draft in Green Bay. We have two shows left, today and Wednesday. Until we will be back in Green Bay. We're not going to do a live show Friday. We'll still have something in the feed on the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app, which we will get to in just a moment. And then next week, we're in Green Bay Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, doing live shows each and every day next week as the NFL draft comes to Wisconsin. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to all of that. Before we get to Joshy, before we get to the Masters, Rory McIlroy, throwing on the green jacket for the first time in his illustrious career, completes the Grand Slam. We got to talk about this app. Can we talk about it, Joshy? Can we talk about the app?
It sounded like you said the zap. This app.
This app.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about it?
You can do whatever you want.
I appreciate the permission.
I'll join you.
All right, so as of today, for those of you that are not aware, you can find us on an app. Pretty sweet. It's called ESPN Wisconsin. Believe it or not, very creatively named by us. All of our shows across ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam are available on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And a cool little feature of ESPN Wisconsin app, your state, your teams, your ESPN, is you can customize it. So you can do whatever you want with it. So, Josh, you're never going to believe what I did.
You put Mr. Relevant first.
Sure did. Now, when you go on, if you go on here, they actually moved around the ESPN Originals, which is like the second thing in here. We were number four. Now we're number one. Wow. So who's ever working the back end must love us. And then if you customize the app, you can put whatever show you want first. I don't know if you can see this, but there we are, number one and it shows you all the latest episodes. So pretty sweet. And then you can listen live as well. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, right in the app. All kind of a one-stop shop for all things ESPN Wisconsin. You can get Joshy's other show, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can get the show I produce, Kyle Breston-Nortman. You can get all of Hunter's great high school calls during the football and basketball season on Prep Mania. All in one place. How fun is that?
It's great. It's about time it updated. One of the other great things, if you also previously downloaded the Wisconsin On Demand app and that's still rolling around, it just updated for you.
It just updated.
So it is going to be in the same location. You're not going to have to download anything new. But if you don't have it, you can go out and download this one. And also at the bottom, there's a little contest.
Yeah.
If you want to enter, win a chance to go up to, was it day three of the NFL draft,
I believe?
It's
Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, get a little exclusive tailgate experience. We will be there.
We will be.
And you can meet us, which is, I'm sure, the biggest benefit to all of that.
just to re-clarify, You can meet us. Yeah. How exciting is that? Yeah, so we'll be there. You can win tickets day three of the draft, so you can get in on that, the new ESPN Wisconsin app. Now, is it insensitive to ask? Now, the camera that is on the control room behind, or, you know, behind us, where you used to sit, now we allowed you to come in the studio and get distracted. There is a sign directly to the left that says Wisconsin On Demand.
Mm-hmm.
Can we, like, take that?
I mean, I would seek the proper channels before just removing it from the wall.
Hold on a minute. Nobody spends more time in that room than you.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that comes in second place behind you
is you.
Is me.
Yeah.
So I feel like since that is our area, we should be able to call the shots about the design and the layout of the room.
The only thing I'm worried about is potential of, maybe they want to reuse the sign. Maybe they want to do something else with it. And let me tell you, that sign wasn't free. I can assure you of that.
I believe that.
So before removing and stealing from the company, I would ask the proper people. Probably that would be my start. I don't know about you.
I might just take it.
I didn't see anything.
I was going to say, Strofe stealing from the company is better content for us. It's funnier. Because then we can have HR come down here and reprimand him. It'd be good.
Is it better? What if he gets fired for it, though? I think that
Mr. Irrelevant with Josh DiMaggio.
Probably be a better show.
So maybe I should be. So maybe I should be encouraging you to steal it.
Yes.
They just pray on my dad full around here. I'll tell you what, man. Just when I think I have a good idea. I just accidentally, by the way, did it. I'll tell you what, man. Which immediately makes everybody think of John Gruden, who was in Madison this weekend.
Correct.
Firing up the boys that are going to win five games. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's get to the Masters. I did not watch the Masters. I had a very busy weekend, very productive weekend. And I just never got around to it. Now I've read into it. I've seen some of the stuff. I know what happened, but I guess I don't necessarily understand the level of which it happened. Number one, because A, I'm not a huge golf fan to begin with. Now this is the event of the year that I will watch.
You won't watch the other majors?
I might flip them on. You're a much bigger golf fan than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Golf and hockey are probably my blind spots when it comes to sports in general.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch a little UFC. I'll watch a little WWE if we count that.
Nope.
Soccer, maybe a blind spot too, but at least I know what's going on there.
Yeah, soccer's but you're okay an American, so that's a blind spot for everybody.
Yeah, but I host a weekly radio show with Craig Karmazin, who's under the radar, a huge soccer fan.
Something about people being super into soccer as Americans is off-putting to me.
Why is that?
The way they talk about it, they try and talk like they're from England for like 3 hours every morning as they're watching their footy. It's trying to represent. Now, I understand if you were a big soccer player growing up and you played in high school and college, it would make sense that you would then follow that sport more closely. But yeah, the waking up, seeing the tweets at 7 a.m. and saying like useful cross there and like speaking in the specific English, annoying. Talk about it like an American. You're an American. It's fine. Nobody's going to judge you because you're not using the proper lingo or the proper lingo for England, English or European.
I like that you use the word footy.
Yeah. I only use that because I see people say it.
It is heavily utilized.
Yeah.
To describe the sport.
Okay. I am friends with many. I mean, there's more than a couple bars. I was at one this weekend.
Oh, your favorite place. Yeah.
That is a big soccer or football bar.
You were out early on Saturday, I caught wind of.
Yeah, about like 5:36.
Oh, it was earlier than that, wasn't it?
No, I went to Gabe Neitzel's house for the Masters, which is where this conversation started and then ended up in a roundabout way getting back to it.
Yep.
I went to Gabe Neitzel's for the Masters.
Okay.
That was after the Tory Lowe Truth Community cleanup that I saw you at as well. I went after that to Gabe's house, watched the Masters, had some azaleas, and the taste of the Masters, so pimento cheese, egg salad, Gabe made wings, beautiful. And then after the broadcast wrapped up, I went over to the Nomad. It was their a charity day they have there. I don't really understand what. I was just told what beer I was supposed to drink for the charity, and that's what I did.
Okay,
I can take part in this. I can do my part and drink a couple beers.
Good for you. Okay, fair enough. So let's get back to the Masters now.
Yes.
So you spent Saturday at Gabe Neitzel's.
Correct.
Did you go back Sunday?
I did not. I like Gabe. He had a lot of people over. They made a lot of food. Said figure. Usually Gabe and I do Sundays, but he decided he's having a party on Saturday. So great. I'll show up then. I'll watch Sunday from home. Saturday is the real interesting part of the tournament, obviously, until the very end there and what we saw. But Saturday looked like it was going to be a showdown on Sunday between Bryson and Rory McIlroy, your eventual Masters champion, first time. I believe it's like 10 years since he first started attempting this. He came
14.
He came in second then maybe 10 years ago is the number there. So it looked like it was going to be a two-horse race immediately on Sunday. Double bogey from Rory. Then on the second hole, Bryson birdies, I believe. And now we are at Bryson one ahead of Rory. Now, Rory has become synonymous with, he's a fan favorite. Everyone loves him. But every major win and basically every tournament he's been in, say, the last 10-ish years, he does it in a Rory way where he gives up leads. He gives like it's not a choke artist. It's not a Tiger Woods style or even a Scottie Scheffler where they get a lead, they keep a lead, they maintain it, and the dramatics sort of kind of fall away. He has a history that everybody there's two types of golf fans. There's the people who want Rory to win, complete the career Grand Slam, and there's people who root against it because they love to watch the collapse and the drama and all of that. Justin Rose was the leader for 2 days. He faded on Saturday after having a rough round, and then he absolutely surged back, draining a long putt on 18. He was ahead of Rory, so the number was there. Rory made one of the a shot you would make. Or I would make.
Yeah, I would have
where he just,
that, yeah.
Where he just parks one into the creek for no absolute reason. It was one of the more shocking shots you'll see in golf, given the circumstances. He does come back a little bit, but on 18 he has a chance to... all he has to do is par it. And he manages to miss, I believe it was a four-footer. And bogeys
wow, maybe
the hole.
I would make that. Okay.
No, not on a Masters green. Those are tough.
Also, that's a four-footer in front of the estimated about 1,200 yes. people. So, yes. No, you wouldn't.
With all the pressure on the world, knowing how close you've come, like, golf is the most unique sport of all the sports that we sort of pay attention to because it is the most mental and it is the most exterior factors play a bigger, well, interior in this case, plays such an effect on it. And your golf swing can just randomly fall apart. Your putting can just randomly fall apart. It is like one of the great dramas because it is basically you against the course, but then against the rest of everyone else. So he misses that and gets into a playoff and manages to birdie it and complete what is only one of six golfers to ever complete a career Grand Slam. I was rooting for Rory. I did bet on him to win. Do love that. Little plus 600 action on that one.
Oh.
But it was, for me, the best sporting event so far this year. It's probably going to be one of the better events we watch all year. The Masters and Augusta is one of one experience. You know, you're not allowed your phone. There's certain behavior. Everyone's called patrons. You're not allowed to refer to it as the back nine. It's the second nine. It's just one of those places that really gets me excited. It's a top five event for me easily every single year. I was locked in all weekend. As you saw, I had it back in there, but it delivered in terms of drama. Probably more than any golf event has since really, I mean, even Tiger winning in 19.
I remember that.
That was amazing, but there wasn't a ton of drama around it. He kind of coasted to that victory. We kind of all saw the writing on the wall early in that tournament.
And we got a playoff here.
Yes.
Which was the dramatics, as you mentioned. Justin Rose obviously falls short to Rory McIlroy. Rory, obviously one of the biggest names in golf, has been, you know, because I believe at one point he was kind of viewed as like, okay, he's the next guy.
He was the next Tiger.
And I don't know that he's lived up to that.
No, not at all, but he is an all-time great based on one of six guys to ever complete in modern golf the career Grand Slam. That's not something that, like, you can luck into. We see guys luck into a Masters every few, like Danny Willett has a Masters to his name. Yeah, yeah. There are a few names there that will be like, huh, that was an interesting year. But to create at all four events to go out and be able to win in the biggest moment is awesome. And seeing his reaction, seeing him embrace his family, his best friend, Shane Lowry, the Justin Rose thing was super cool. After he just took basically a Masters away from Justin Rose, who, let's be honest, probably was surprised to be there himself, given how he's been playing golf. But it was a great moment. It is that event is as much for what's going on around the golf course and with the people as it is like the actual golf. Now, we saw some of the most incredible shots, ones that as we get older, we will see Rory with that massive loop That massive draw he put on the ball on 15. Like, those things, those images will last forever, much like we see Jack on 16, all that type of stuff.
So, no offense to you. You don't hit me as a golf guy.
I understand why. I played it when I was young. I am entertained by the golf drama.
See, that I think that's what surprises me, because you're very much alike. You like sports that are fast and hard hitting, and yes, golf, obviously known for being very slow. Just real quick, I want to clarify one thing. So Rory won his first major 14 years ago.
Yes.
But he had the three in the bag 11 years ago.
Yes.
2014, winning the Open.
And he has finished, I don't have his history, but he has finished second before.
Okay.
And he's had chances to win it and has fallen short. He's also had Masters weekends where he was never close and seemed like he was miles away from ever winning one. And he came in as one of the two favorites. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler, the best golfer in the world number one, and him were the presumptive favorites. And it was basically, the story was, is it Scottie and Rory versus the world, basically. And it delivered Rory out of those options.
He took second at the Masters in 2022.
Yeah.
And then has had several top 10 finishes, including every year from 2014 through 2018.
That was the time everyone was saying, it's Rory's time, he's going to do it. And then through various ways and playing golf the way he does, fell out of, you know, even contention.
The Open Championship, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and they got it. It's like multiple graphs. It's all screwed up. Taken second once at the Open, has taken second twice at the U.S. Open. Obviously won that one back in 2011. That was his first major win. Wow. Okay. So this was great. This was the event of the year, you say?
Yes. Yes. And I think it's going to be, there was something will pop up, but in terms of given stakes and sort of the way it played out with the dramatics going into extras, the way everybody thinks about, I mean, this was career defining.
Right.
He falls short here. He is known as one of the greatest chokers of all time. Some people still view him that way and say he's probably gotten less out of his ability than maybe he probably should have. Because there, I mean, he's like the longest hitter in the PGA Tour. He's one of the best drivers of the golf ball. And let's all be honest, even if you've dabbled in golf, that's the most fun part, is swinging out of your shoes and watching the ball go real far. So he is a fan favorite from that way.
Chef Ed chimes in and says, in regards to the ESPN Wisconsin app, as for meeting you guys, I've been there, done that. So Chef Ed isn't going to enter that. Looks good. Looks good. Congrats to Rory. Congrats to Joshy. How was the pimento?
Delicious. Love a good pimento. I'll probably not have another pimento thing until 2026. This previous.
So do you eat the pimento cheese with the egg salad?
You can.
Or is this separate?
They are two separate. So at Augusta, I mean, have you seen how cheap like their concession prices are?
And it's like $3 for a beer, isn't it? Or four bucks?
Yeah. For a domestic light beer. They don't brand anything. But yeah, pimento cheese is, it's pimento peppers, it's shredded cheese, and it's cream cheese mixed together and slapped on two slices of white bread.
That sounds lovely.
It's
simple and lovely.
It's simple and lovely. I have no desire to eat it really outside of there.
See, you got to do like a pimento cheeseburger.
Well, that was a thing at one restaurant, wasn't it, recently?
I'm sure there's people doing I know, I've had pimento on, pimento peppers on things, but the pimento cheese sandwich is not something I'm like stocking in the fridge the same way I would like a tuna salad or a chicken salad.
Are you a tuna salad guy?
I'll dabble. Mussolini makes a great recipe that I do enjoy, but it's not something I'm seeking out particularly all that often.
Okay, last thing on this. You mentioned you made a cocktail that you were bringing ready to drink.
Yes.
How was it?
Tremendous. Rave reviews.
Good for you.
All it is lemonade, grenadine, and vodka. Hard to screw up, but you got to get your dimensions right, especially when you're making a mash.
I don't know what dimensions.
Dimensions.
Okay.
You got to get it. You got to get it correct. You're looking for a certain pink type of color to match the azalea flower that is famous for the course. There's holes named after it.
And you nailed it.
Drank almost all of it. Now, I had to drive, so I only had like two of them throughout my viewing, and I left Gabe with some for Sunday. But everyone had one who was able to drink, I should say, because there was someone's child there. I should have made him a kitty. I felt bad about that when I
How would you kitty that? Because Grenadine doesn't have booze, right?
Yeah, you just make him one before adding the vodka.
Just lemonade and Grenadine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it was great. Lovely.
All right. I'm proud of you.
It's good. This was a great weekend. It's starting to get warmer. I'm coming out of hiding.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, brother. Yeah. I played a Hammerschlagen yesterday.
Yeah,
You ever play Hammerschlagen?
Of course, many, many, many times.
I haven't played in years.
There is, I think, the old German beer hall right down the road.
Yeah,
I believe they have stumps, hammers, and nails for you to play it in the bar.
No kidding.
Yes.
I got to check that out. I have not
You'll see it on some patios, too, throughout the city.
I have not played in years, but for those that aren't familiar, Josh, you pretty much just explained it, right? So you have a stump, you put a nail, you know, just very lightly in the stump, and then everybody in the circle is trying to hit each other's nails down. But the way in which you do it is you flip the hammer in the air. So if you just flip it, you know, in the air, you get one. If you go in between your leg and flip it and you catch it, you get two. And then if you go behind the back and you catch it, you get three. You can only use one hand. You have ideally a drink. So if you're a right-handed person, you hold a drink in your left hand and you're flipping a hammer around and you're smacking nails.
See,
I made contact zero times.
That's not shocking. See, most people just play it the standard way, which is you either just tap it to the side of it and then hit down, or you tap it, flip it, and hit down. There's no between the legs, behind the back.
Oh, sure.
That seems like a customized version.
That's probably the Stevens Point version.
Yeah, and you hit your own nail in this one. So okay,
the way we play is not that way.
Your nail is to get it. Your job is to get the nail flush with the stump.
Okay, now
your own, and then it dwindles as you go, and the ultimate loser is, you know, has to take a shot or whatever.
Right, whose ever nail is the longest. Whereas, okay, gotcha. Yeah, we played a little reverse then. But
yeah, I mean, it works either way. The same premise applies.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Okay, let's get to this. The big news of the day in Green Bay is former top 10 pick, number 8 overall back in 2020, same draft as Jordan Love. Isaiah Simmons, coming off 2 years with the Giants, spent a couple of years where he was drafted in Arizona, plays a little bit of linebacker, plays a little bit of safety. He's a hybrid on the second and third level of the defense. Is visiting with the Packers. Still a free agent. Doesn't sound like he'll be too expensive. It's interesting for sure to me, right? Because you don't have a ton of depth at linebacker, though you like the pieces you have, right? Obviously, Edgerrin Cooper coming off a terrific rookie season. Quay Walker, a former first-round pick. And then you've got some other pieces that fit in, right? Isaiah McDuffie was re-signed this offseason. And then Tyron Hopper coming off his rookie year. A year ago, I think that's everybody, right? Eric Wilson went elsewhere. So I think they only have four or five inside linebackers under contract, which is why this one makes a little bit of sense. And then it adds some depth if you need him to play safety, but you assume that Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard kind of, you know, take that up. But if you want to do some different things defensively, you have a guy who's versatile. He can drop into coverage, and of course he can stop the run game or rush the quarterback if need be. I will say that this move feels a little McCole Hardman-ish defensively if they are to pull the trigger and sign Isaiah Simmons to what we assume would be a short-term contract in Green Bay. It feels like a move that if it pops, great. You got more than you invested for. Otherwise, it might be a special teams move, and it's a depth move, right? If unfortunately they have some injuries, then he can pop in. If they are to bring in a guy like Isaiah Simmons, it doesn't signal to me like, yeah, your starting linebackers now are Isaiah Simmons and Edgerrin Cooper, right? I don't think that's why they would make a move like this. It'd be for depth. It'd be for special teams. And maybe to try some different things creatively in year two of a Jeff Hafley defense. So I'm for it because, A, I don't think it's going to be expensive. And, B, it seems like another move Brian Gutekunst has been pretty good at, which is low risk, high reward. Sometimes it's low risk and low reward, but it doesn't really matter, right? Think of your Devin Funchess's and your Hammy Sammy Watkins moves. Those were low risk, low reward. And if that's how this turns out, so be it, right? That could be how the McCole Hardman one turns out as well. So this move to me, not a huge needle mover, but one I would sign off on.
I have what I would consider an inordinate amount of information on Isaiah Simmons. He was one of the most fascinating guys of that draft.
Yeah.
He is the classic tweener, which people thought was going to become a more popular thing, and then the run game became a heavier focus for a lot of teams, rendering those guys who are the tweener of safety linebacker kind of ineffective, because if you're too small to be a traditional linebacker, they're going to run at you. All you have to think back to is the Green Bay Packers absolutely mauling the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs. Dan Campbell at the time was their defensive coordinator.
Dan Quinn,
said basically to Micah Parsons' face, like, yeah, every time you had that safety at linebacker, we ran at him. And that was our game plan. He's too big to be a traditional safety, but he is like, I believe his numbers for RAS were like near 10. Like, he was a near perfect athlete, one of one for that position. He has been nothing but a massive disappointment. I also think he's probably a guy who's looking for a place that is going to find the right way to play him.
9.97.
Yes. Yeah. If you watch his college tape, the guy's everywhere. He's able to cover wide receivers. He's able to rush the passer. But obviously, as we know, when the competition elevates, that becomes more difficult. It probably makes sense for him. Like, you could see him playing a Zach Bond style of position where you bulk up a little bit, you just play linebacker, but we use you more creatively. You're going to be our runner. You're going to follow guys that are, you know, in the slot. And we are going to send you like a missile at the quarterback for, you know, just to make plays. I don't expect that to be what he does with the Packers.
Yeah.
But he's at very least depth to that linebacker spot where you don't have to address it at all via the draft, and you can sort of kick that can down the road and hope for the best with him. And then he's a special teamer. He's going to play every single snap of your probably everything but field goal, you would imagine.
Yeah.
He plays like every single way, and because he is that sort of size and speed that is very
super
useful.
Athletic. Yes. Right. He's super athletic, great size. It's just like you said.
He doesn't have a home right now in the NFL, like in terms of position.
Correct. Now, he does have 5 career interceptions, 2 career defensive touchdowns, 15 career sacks in 5 seasons. You know, like, meh. Actually, I'm reading the Wikipedia. Nobody updated last year's stats, which tells you kind of how that went.
Yeah.
He did block a game-tying field goal against the Seahawks. There you go. There's your field goal pop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a freak athlete. And that's, you're just taking a shot on it and saying, Jeff Hafley, if you can find ways to use him that is useful.
Right. If not, no harm, no foul.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I said at the top, it's kind of like the Mecole Hardman of the defense. You bring in a guy who you think can do a couple things for you and special teams and maybe on offense.
I'd make a better case for him actually contributing than.
Yeah. I don't know, because I think he doesn't come in as a top 4 linebacker.
No, but I think guys like him with their athleticism, people just go, we can do something here.
Sure.
Mecole Hardman, I think, this is even if the Packers sign him. I think he's a real candidate to not make it through training camp.
Mecole Hardman, that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Just based on, like, you know what they want him to be, but say they draft 2 guys in the draft at wide receiver, you're looking around going, is he really that good of a kick or punt returner for us to keep him on the team, or can we make it worth work with the guys we have?
Yeah. I feel similarly on Hardman.
I'm slicing a thin margin here. I would just give the nod to Simmons.
Agreed.
Yes.
I would agree with you. I think just that freak athleticism probably gets you a role on the team, even if you're guy 51. Where Hardman, he probably makes the roster, but he makes it as a returner.
Yes.
Amari Rodgers style. Hopefully just better than
I would take
Rodgers.
The on snaps played, I would take the over for Simmons, or I would take his end of it if you were to pair those guys against one another.
We are 10 days away from the NFL draft in Green Bay. Just kind of bonkers, to be honest with you.
I don't know if I'm ready.
I don't know that I am either. Now, I checked in on you this morning, and you were mocking yet again.
I'll never stop.
No. You're a fascinating fella, because you really do love sports.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have any downtime, I've noticed. Right? Like, if it's NFL regular or postseason, you are daily fantasizing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Building parlays and whatnot.
Best ball parlays, all that, yes.
In the off season, you might shift your attention briefly to the NBA mm-hmm. or college basketball,
mm-hmm.
and then you're in the draft and you're doing mock drafts and you're trying to figure mm-hmm. out how the order is going to fall. I imagine there's going to be a baseball period at some point.
I don't like dabbling in baseball. I will watch a lot of them. I probably, if we talk like yearly hours spent, I probably watch more baseball than anything else. But that's simply the frequency at which it is shown, because on any given day you can just flip on the Brewers and watch, like, or have on in the background 2 hours. My slow season is definitely probably post draft up until training camp. I will be dabbling in like some best ball fantasy stuff in that given time, but it's sparing.
Wait, so you're already drafting?
I'm not. No, not currently. It is. There are.
No,
options.
I mean post NFL draft. You are, though.
Oh yeah. As soon as you find out where guys are going. Oh yeah. Those contents will launch very shortly after. Yes. I don't start getting into it until probably July at the earliest.
Sure.
Because yeah, at a certain point, it's like you don't want to be tying up money for 9 months.
Yeah.
To get paid out, like, you know, it just doesn't make sense economically unless I had a big bankroll to be playing around with.
Okay. I hear you. So we are 10 days away, anyway, from the NFL draft. I keep getting sidetracked by your philosophy of life. It's been a really interesting topic to me recently.
I definitely am on the higher end of locked into different events, and obviously gambling is a big way.
Well, we just talked about the Masters for 15 minutes, and you seemed like you were the foremost expert on golf.
Which is, talk to Gabe Neitzel, and he would make me look like Gabe knows every hole, its name, its yardage, the traditional pin locations. I have an idea, but I'm not memorizing that stuff.
I didn't realize they changed the pin locations.
Yes. Yeah, they did
every,
a nod
every
to,
single day.
Yeah, and this Jack. Year to Jack on the par 3 16, I think it was.
16.
Yep.
Yes.
They Is moved that the it one to, that somebody sank on Friday? we were on the show and somebody hit a hole in one and I announced it to you.
I do not remember.
Was that
who
Wednesday,
or when
the par
that was.
3 stuff?
That might have been it.
Wait, yeah. Does the Masters start on Wednesday?
Well, they do a par 3 thing, and the guys have their kids out there with them, and yeah.
Yeah, they skip the ball across the water.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, I want to talk about the draft now, if that'd be okay with everybody.
No.
You're the one who's just throwing random stuff out there. You're the lead host. Either you let us go there or you don't. Either you take us there or you don't.
Here's the issue with me, is I'm always going to let you take me there. I'm the easiest person to pressure into nonsense. Someday I'll grow a backbone, but that will not be... Not today, not tomorrow. No, not this week, that's for sure. When we're in Green Bay next week, maybe. Maybe.
No, you will be... I know you. You'll be just enthralled with everything happening.
Plus, there'll be some NBA playoff buzzer beater, and you're going to want to talk about that. And you'll act like a Mr. NBA guy again. I know what's going to happen.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if anybody's looked at the rundown today, but Mr. NBA is coming out to play in just a few minutes.
You shouldn't be, though, because you
I might go to the bathroom during that time.
Potty well, Joshy. So I was initially going to write a song for this segment, and I decided that might be a bad idea.
Thank you for that.
I was going to write a song. Now I wrote two lines, and I went, "Wait, this is bad." So I am going to sing it for you, if that's okay.
Okay.
Even if it's not a camera.
As I say, I don't think I have much of a choice.
On the first day of drafting, Goody gave to me a first round wide receiver. On the second day of drafting, Goody gave to me two cornerbacks and a first-round wide receiver. That's as far as I got.
Immediate feedback. On the first night of... It seems you should just go, on the first night of draft night, Brian Gutekunst gave to me. Wouldn't that make more of the first night of drafting?
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, I'm saying you should go on the first night of draft night.
But then that doesn't make sense after I go after the first round wide receiver.
On the second
day? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I was gonna go all the way. I was gonna go all the way up to 10. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, is that how that song works?
Thank you for not doing that. I don't know why the 10 days of Christmas came to mind.
Because 10 days of drafting.
Yeah, so there's 10 days until the draft. The draft is 3 days.
Yeah, that well, right. So I'd be like 4 days until the draft.
You
should
have gotten a little more creative with also, your song choice.
The 12 days of Christmas, actually the first day is Christmas Day, and then it's the 12 days after. It isn't leading up to Christmas. Really? Yeah, it's the 12 days
after. I thought it was like the Advent calendar.
No.
It's clear.
It's the back end. They're giving gifts for 12 days starting on Christmas.
So you're telling me like January 5th people are still getting gifts?
If they were to do the 12 days of Christmas properly, yes. So in the song, yes. You're getting gifts into January.
You've never noticed on the first day of Christmas? What do you think that they're just calling Christmas the 15th?
I always thought that song was reverse. So like if we did 12 days building up to the 25th, I thought on the 13th of December you were getting a partridge in a pear tree.
No. Nope, that's Christmas Day.
Wow. We should do the 12 days of Christmas this year.
Nope.
I'll get you 12 gifts.
No, you won't.
Sure I will.
You'll get through 4 and then get bored. Yeah. And it'll be like, hey, I got you this cookie from this place down the street.
And then it will exceed the potential budget. And you'll be like, well, this was a dumb idea. I have 4 more days to go. And I've spent $90 on this bit back from April because I tried to but failed to write a draft song. Is that going to be worth it?
No, it won't be. So here's my thoughts on the draft as it stands 10 days out. Number one is Joshy, Brad Nortman, and Moore have me convinced, I think, a first-round wide receiver is actually very much in play for the Packers. Number two, I also think a really boring pick is in play on the first round of the draft for the Packers, and that could be an offensive tackle or an interior offensive lineman or a defensive tackle we haven't done a ton of research on.
Defensive tackle's not boring. Think of the amount of defensive tackles who've come in and just absolutely changed the face of the
defense. I don't want to say it's boring. I just think it's unexpected. And I think us as Packers fans, especially now that the draft is in Green Bay, in the backyard, we have this craving for like a sexy skill position player. So corner or wide receiver are kind of the main two that popped ahead. And while I think both of those are very realistic, I think there's a chance we run back what happened last year where we go, do we really need to draft an offensive tackle in the first round? Couldn't we have waited on that? Like, we've had plenty of success in middle rounds with offensive linemen.
The one thing I will say is based on what we know so far of the pre-draft visits, the only offensive lineman who's been projected for the first round is the guy who had a misdiagnosed injury and is working his way back from that. Other than that, everyone...
That's Josh Simmons in Ohio State?
Yes. Yeah. Other than Simmons, pretty much everyone's been a third-rounder later guy. So, to me, there's a clear signal here of what Goody and company are planning to do. As we know, they're not really doing any subterfuge here. They're not really trying to throw us off the scent. They traditionally haven't.
No.
The guys they're looking at in the first round are wide receiver. There are corners that are tweeners.
Yep.
Some early
Siobhan
second.
Rebel being one of them.
Yes. Yep. They just had Trey Amos from Ole Miss, I believe, a cornerback. There's been a few guys to at least give you a... both the wide receiver and cornerback positions are those weird first or second round guys where we're not sure where they'll end up landing.
I will say this, though. You use the word subterfuge. In the past, it seems like the Packers only use their top 30 visits on, or not only, but they only use it on like four or five first round picks.
Yep.
It seems this year it's going to be closer to 10.
Yes.
Which
I think tells us a lot about this specific draft more than it tells you about any specific. It tells you that the Packers view it like we've been told, or like I told you, there's a lot of guys that are viewed as late first or second round picks, more players than probably picks. So it is good value. So it seems like the Packers have probably a few guys they really would like at 23 if they are there, and then they are going to get creative, be it trading down in the first or trading up with picks to get multiple shots at some of those guys.
Yeah, which would be kind of fun.
It would be. I don't know how fun it would be for the big program we're running on day one if they trade out of the first round of the draft.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Josh.
I would love it, and I would be laughing at you guys.
From a content perspective, we are going to be in Green Bay. We are going to be just up the street from the stage.
We're going to be able to see it.
We will be drowned out by booze if the Packers dip out of the first round. So I don't know that I need to say anything. I can just sit there and listen to the crowd roar with booze towards Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think trading out of the first round is boo-worthy.
Oh, it will be, though. And you know
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not saying I would boo.
We're emotional about, and we want, because let me tell you, pick 23 and they trade in Emeka Ibuka's there. I'm going to hear Emeka Ibuka's name the way I have heard TJ Watt's name.
And Cooper DeJean's name. Right, year,
which is virtually multiple times a week until those guys' career is over in the NFL.
Yeah.
I do think that this, with being at 23, I know it's a little bit high for it, but there's going to be a team dumb enough to give the Packers a good package because they're going to want to get QB back into the first round to get Jackson Dart. I think that's a very real thing that's going to happen on Thursday. So Packer fans should be fine with it if somebody's going to overpay them to go get Jackson Dart.
And let me tell you, somebody, if the situation arises and if Jackson Dart doesn't just get drafted by, say, the Steelers at their pick, somebody's going to overpay to take, be it Milroe, be it Howard. Like, we've heard names that we didn't expect to be first round picks become first round picks.
Michael Penix was the 10th overall pick last year.
Yeah. Was it 9th?
Might have been ninth.
But yes, yeah. There's
top 10 pick, regardless.
If you can still bet over 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round, I would bet that.
And while Bo Nix turned out, he was a top 15 pick last year.
Yeah.
You know, like, you never know how that position in particular shakes out. And despite the fact that it seems there's probably only two real options in the first round this year.
Yeah.
There's going to be four guys drafted.
Yeah, I mean, there's a real chance that Shador isn't even the second QB drafted.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which is a real potential.
Yeah. I'm going to be fascinated to see how that plays out. Now, the quarterback need seems like it's a little bit down this year, but there's still always teams that are looking. Still always teams that view they need one.
I mean, we just found out Derek Carr's health status is who knows.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is a New Orleans Saint, I think is what that means.
I don't think so.
I think it definitely reopens the door.
I mean, they're in a financial situation where
I'm aware.
He has to be like a $6 million a year guy.
Is it that bad? Okay,
it is. They're already over the cap in 2026, and they haven't signed a single draft pick.
That's always good.
They were pushing the can down the road when they had that tail end of Drew Brees there, trying to just get one more, and they just could not do it, and now they're paying for it.
Yeah, instead of taking their medicines, they continue to kick the can down the road.
Fair.
Yeah, this is similar to what the Cowboys had to deal with in those 2010s.
Is Aaron Rodgers going to retire?
That was my earliest take. It was the take I had the most conviction on. And then we saw the Vikings thing play out, which I never think is as real as we were led to believe.
Agreed.
I think the Steelers, I suppose, are still an option.
They are, but we're running out of time. Because if they go Jackson Dart, are they going to go, okay, we'll do the whole, you sit for a year behind Aaron Rodgers and learn from a great?
I mean, You would hope so with Jackson Dart.
Agreed. But
I think Jackson Dart's talented and has a chance to be an NFL starter. I don't think Jackson Dart 2025 is going to be leading a playoff hopeful franchise to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But this whole Rodgers thing has taken way too long.
Yeah, and what's interesting about it is when this stuff used to take so long, people cared. And it seems like people are sort of getting more and more indifferent. Like, wherever he lands, it's not going to be... The only place he could land and it would send shockwaves would be Minnesota.
Yeah. And it sounds like that's not happening.
Other than that, everyone's going to go, great, you're going to be a 9-10-win football team, losing the first round of the playoffs, and then we're going to go through it again. That's mm-hmm. sort of where I feel like we all are.
Yeah, fair enough. We will save the belief topic. I wanted to get into pass catcher, no matter if they drafted one in the first round or if they just run it back. Do we believe somebody can take that step as it stands at this point in the offseason? We'll save it, though. We'll talk about that Wednesday. I want to get to the NBA playoffs, and I want to get to some of the NBA news going on. As Josh just smiles at me right now.
The people are coming here for Mr. Relevant's take on the NBA playoffs.
I mean, we've been over this time and time again, Hunter, have we not? Since the inception of the show. I'm Mr. NBA.
You were until you failed miserably at the Immaculate Grid. Like, you forgot PJ Tucker.
I was just bad. Like Rory McIlroy under pressure prior to yesterday. You know, I just crumbled.
But a real NBA guy wouldn't.
Send Immaculate Grid back and forth?
We did one on the show.
Oh. Yeah.
And it didn't go well.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I think he got three.
Are you saying you might have overestimated your abilities, much like the population's debacle of a couple weeks ago?
And the combine.
Are you saying?
I'm sensing a theme.
Well, I'm glad you're aware of it.
Do I often overestimate my own abilities when it comes to everyday things in life? The answer might be yes.
Resoundingly. Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
I don't think there is any doubt, and I don't think any Mr. Relevant loyal listeners or watchers out there are under any pretenses that actually you might be really good at something you say you are.
Well, that's rude. Am I just...
What would you say...
I don't know if I want to go here.
Outside of work, would you say your belief in your abilities actually matches up with your abilities?
Darts. And I'm not talking about cigarettes. I'm talking about the bar game. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see this because how often are you, like, are you a triples, like, if you're playing cricket, are you just nailing triple 20s, 19s, and just mowing down the board? Or are you,
yes,
like, your average mark per round is like a 1.9 and you're just slightly better than the people around you?
It depends on the day. Both can be true.
Because it seems like, if I were to guess, having never seen you play darts, you are better than the people you play against who have zero interest in it. Therefore, you believe great darts player.
No, I'm solid. I'm solid.
Are you solid or are you good at it?
Which one's better?
Well, solid would probably what I would describe myself as. I have the ability, I win more than I lose when I play darts, but I am by no means would I say I'm good at darts.
I would say I'm good then.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to, at some point here,
mosey down the street,
go over to old Wolski's and play some cricket.
Why Wolski's?
It's infamous for the real dartboards. They're all lined up on the wall there.
Oh.
It is probably Milwaukee's most famous bar.
Well, I know that. I've actually never been in there.
Well, that's a big miss by you.
I understand that.
Especially if you claim to be good at darts. Like, yeah, that should have been one of your first stops when you moved there.
Are you playing on electronic boards?
I mean, I'll play with whatever's available.
Jeez.
I had a...
I see an electronic dart and a dartboard and I go... I'm not playing on that thing.
So I have to manually score it then?
Yeah.
That's a little irritating.
That's why they have the chalk next to it. That's classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy enough.
The chalk is quite easy. You put one cross for one, complete the X with the second, and then
circle it when you're done. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
It's a pretty easy system.
All right. Fair enough. Bucks, the 5 seed in the NBA playoffs, they get a first-round rematch. The team that ended their season a year ago, the Indiana Pacers, the 4 seed. That series will start 5 days from today on Saturday in Indiana. Giannis has been on an unbelievable tear as the Bucks end the season winning, what was it, Josh? 8 games in a row? And I legitimately, even without Damian Lillard in the first round, have a lot more faith than I did yet last year. Because obviously Giannis was dealing with the injury last year. You have all sorts of, you know, Damian Lillard obviously also injured, excuse me, last year. I think with Giannis playing how he is and seeing guys like Gary Trent and Kevin Porter Jr. and Brooke Lopez on the defensive end chip in the way they have over this recent stretch, this is a team that seemingly is playing their best basketball at the right time. 8 wins in a row to end the regular season. Now they get a week off, and it's just still fingers crossed on Damian Lillard. I'm not going to sit here and make the case that they are a championship favorite without Dame Lillard, but when he comes back, if these two can mesh, which I believe they can, and Dame can at least be most of what we expect out of him, I think they're right back in this race in the Eastern Conference. Now, that is a huge fingers crossed situation because you just never know with what Lillard is dealing with. But Giannis is playing so unbelievably out of his mind recently that I would find it hard to believe he can't will this team to a first round win in 5 or 6 games. I think it's Bucks in 6 always. But could the Bucks win the series in 5? I do think they could. And now, of course, that would require 3 games on the road, 2 at Fiserv Forum, games 3 and 4, of course, at Fiserv. I like this matchup. This is the matchup I wanted. Would have liked the seeds to be the other way around and the Bucks get a little bit of home court advantage, but it is what it is. I think this is a super winnable series even without Damian Lillard. So I am happy with the draw the Bucks got. But the Eastern Conference has its teams that are good. We know that as they await their matchups. The Cavaliers finished with the best record in the NBA. They've been so good all year. So young, so fast, so balanced. The Boston Celtics are the reigning champions. Pretty much all you have to say about that as they await their matchup with the play-in coming up. But Bucks Pacers start Saturday in Indianapolis. I like the Bucks, boys. I like where the Bucks are at. I like how Giannis is playing a lot. I mean, he is playing out of his freaking mind. They're good enough to win this first-round series. If they get Dame back when they match up with likely the Cavaliers in the second round, it's going to be a hill to climb, no doubt about it. But if they have Dame healthy and they have Giannis playing the way he has been, I don't know that anybody wants to see the Milwaukee Bucks. So I've got faith. I'm back invested into the Bucks as we get ready for the postseason 5 days from today.
I think facing the Pacers is hard to look past how the last series went and all circumstances were different. The Bucks are pretty distant underdogs in this series, plus anywhere between plus 175 to plus 190 to the Pacers minus 230. That is telling us Vegas pretty much overwhelmingly believes the Milwaukee Bucks are going to lose this first round matchup. I don't know if what we saw at the end is going to translate in terms of playoff basketball. We hear that phrase more often, it feels like, other than maybe the NHL and Stanley Cup playoffs, where the game's different, it changes, and what you saw in the regular season necessarily does not always translate over. I think the end of the season gave you as much optimism based on the lack of optimism that struck really early with the Dame, the deep vein thrombosis thing. The reports have been positive, but it still doesn't seem like we're going to see him in this series. I guess there's an outside chance. I don't know if they've closed that door yet, seeing as we haven't started
not officially play
a game yet. I have a hard time, and maybe this is unfair to the Bucks, but I have a hard time as looking at anything short of an Eastern Conference championship as like anything other than failure and disappointment. And as much as Giannis wants to say there is no failure, there is absolutely failure. I understand why he said that and why that benefited him. But this post championship run has been marked with nothing to me but failure and disappointment. and underachievement. And there's circumstances. Let's not forget the injuries. There's been plenty of reasons to point to. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we don't look at it and go, well, if he would have, like, we're not going to be thinking in 20 years, oh, if he would have just stayed healthy in that playoff series, they would have won that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, are you able to stay healthy and win competitive series when the competition at its highest? And the Bucks have not been able to keep up what they started in 2021.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously injuries play a huge role in that, as you mentioned.
Yes. Unfortunate stuff. Stuff that...
Sometimes they're unlucky.
Yes.
And that's what the Bucks have been since they won the title in 21. And granted, they got lucky in 21, right?
Yes.
Kevin Durant's shoe was too big.
Yes.
Giannis was still... I mean,
Giannis'
still
knee didn't explode into a thousand pieces somehow.
He's a superhuman, yes. And he's able to come back from what would look like a disgusting injury, amongst other things, right? Chris Middleton has the best series of his career. There are so many things where you have to get lucky in this sport. You gotta get lucky in every sport, but especially in the NBA playoffs, seemingly in a 7-game series. And they just haven't been lucky. They've been the exact opposite of lucky since winning the title, but you can never take that one away, despite the fact that, the head coach of that team got fired again today, Mike Budenholzer. After one season in Phoenix, they take the 11th seed in the Western Conference, miss the playoffs, no play-in for them, and they don't have a first-round pick because they've traded for all the assets on their team except Devin Booker, right? Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. No first-round pick, no lottery pick, no play-in, no playoffs. Mike Budenholzer out of Phoenix. This is their third coaching change in as many seasons.
Do you think Bradley Beal is going to go down in history as the best basketball player who meant the least to the NBA? Like, the amount of money he's gotten paid,
yeah,
and the amount of impact he's had being near zero in, like, the greater landscape of the NBA, it's truly impressive.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm trying to think of other names. CJ McCollum, but probably not to the same level.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, like, Supermax guys here who really banked and really made a ton of money, and then were traded for massive amounts of assets, and then immediately everyone's like, I don't know if this matters all that much.
Yeah. He was traded for what? 4 first-round pick swaps and 6 second-round picks. Unbelievable. All right, before we get to what we learned, Comey 0202 on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, chiming in on our Hammer Schlagen discussion from earlier. I attended grad school in Kansas, but we had to dub it down for Kansas folks, so we just called it Stump. It's good. I like that.
It's a good shot at Kansas for some reason.
I like it. I'll take a shot. What do you got to take a shot? I'll happily be the conduit between you and your avenue. You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for what we learned right here on Mr. Irrelevant. Who wants to go first?
I got one. The spouse of a recently deceased DraftKings customer with roughly $100,000 in future bets for the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference. Now, that's not the regular season, that is into the playoffs. Had all those bets voided and returned to this spouse of the deceased man in this situation. So $100,000 worth of futures gotten at different prices. Instead of letting the bet ride, they and the Massachusetts Gaming Commission requested those bets be...
Okay, so that's probably the responsible decision.
Yes.
Much less fun, though.
I think, and we talked about this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I think after losing your significant other... you're not all that interested in gambling, especially somebody who has the funds to put $100,000 on futures. You would imagine that person was probably closer to a professional gambler than just a hobbyist. And you want to get away from the gambling world at all possible costs. And you would like that money to, hey, I know you had this on the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference, but guess what? That's going towards your funeral.
See, I saw some tweets about it and I kind of love it. Like, I showed the story to my wife and I was like, if I have money on somebody and I pass away, like, let that bet ride. Like, you got to see that one out for me. Like, I'd be haunting my wife if I passed away and she voided a bet on me.
That's the part I'm struggling with, is since it was his money, it obviously goes to next of kin, which would be his spouse.
Their money.
I was going to say, when you're married, it's your money. You're together. You're a team.
Sure. Yeah.
So is it up to her, or because he is dead, they can no longer, because if it's $100,000, we assume that's to win probably, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 in total?
No, I would bet it's probably closer to the, $290,000, $300,000.
Yeah, they've been pretty much favorites all season, so you're not getting crazy odds.
Yeah, they, even as the Cavaliers played as well as they did in the regular season, I would be surprised, and I don't have the numbers on me, if their odds ever surpass the Celtics in terms of chances to win. It's certainly plus money, but I don't think it's nowhere near like if, say, you know, the Bulls went on a dream run. Sure. Like, that would be, you're talking probably close to $1 million in terms of potential odds. It's a lot of money that you can win, but it's also a lot of money that you could lose.
But it's money that he already, like, you already didn't have it in your account. It's not like she was going to have to pay up if it didn't hit.
I understand all of that. I think it's the right move for the DraftKings to grant this to them. Because also, let's be honest here, they probably don't want this much money on what seems like everyone sort of believes is an inevitable, is the Celtics again coming out of the East. And I think that woman, seeing all the strife her life has been undergoing probably these past, I don't know when he passed away, would just rather have $100,000 in her bank account.
Yeah, and you know what? That's probably the right choice. That's probably the right choice. All right, I learned.
I think if you have somebody in your life gambling $100,000 on futures, that's the the spouse in that situation never wants to hear about gambling again.
That's probably true.
Think of the thing you're most annoying about.
But this man could have millions and millions of dollars. We don't know how rich he was.
He could, but we also don't know. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into. What were the medical bills? Was it a surprise thing or was it a long drawn out thing? Like, there's plenty of circumstances where you could make the case for having liquid money is a lot more beneficial to their lives. I would imagine this person is worth millions if you have enough money to put $100,000 on futures and let that money sit.
Yeah, correct.
On
I don't
an
like
app
it when
for,
Josh you know? Like is all logical and acts like an adult. Not as fun.
And let's be honest here. I gamble and I understand all of that. I would love the idea. I would root her on if it made the most sense for her to go, I'm going to let this ride. He loved the Celtics. I love the Celtics. I think it would be great. But given the circumstances, I'm led to believe there are some things here that maybe we don't know about.
Okay, I want to talk about this Nico Amalivia guy, or I am. How do you say it? I just think it's Amalivia because
call
left.
Him Nico I.
Nico I, the quarterback of Tennessee, who I think we talked about very briefly yesterday, last week.
Did we?
When he was holding out.
Yeah,
thought so. Maybe
in one word,
up.
I brought it up.
So the holdout, he has now left the Tennessee roster officially.
Well, he's been dismissed.
Dismissed, right?
Yeah,
because he didn't show up. The coaches said, "Nope, we're done here." Because he was in an NIL holdout related to what he was expecting to get paid to be the quarterback at Tennessee. He was the second-ranked quarterback in the high school class of 2023 behind Arch Manning. Of course, the nephew of Eli and Peyton Manning. I don't know if this is good or bad.
I don't know if we can definitively say at any point with the current status of college football, if any of it's good or bad. I don't know, aside from probably the expanded playoff and the way that went, if anything has been good or bad. I think Nico's the first and the headline grabber, especially based on how his team did.
Yep.
I do not envision him being the last by any sort, unless some big ruling comes down that I'm unaware of and it changes the face of how NIL works. I don't harbor any bad feelings towards a kid and his family trying to get the most out of his abilities.
Did you see what Miami coach Mario Cristobal said about
the cheesiest quote of all time? That guy.
Quote, if they want to play holdout, they might as well play get out.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal, cool, bro. Matter.
Matter. All right, Hunter, you got anything quickly? I didn't realize it was 1:37. We're a little late here.
Oh, geez.
You got anything for us?
Yeah, Pat Connaughton, Bucks legend, joined Kareem, Giannis, and Chris Middleton as the only players to have a 40-10-5 game.
Wow. Very important game 82 for the Bucks yesterday.
Yes. Going to get his number retired because of that performance.
I mean, he has been a pretty great Buck. I mean, he's won a championship, hasn't played a ton this year.
Yeah, because he can't consistently hit his shots.
They never wanted him to be the guy, but yesterday was good. Didn't watch the game, but side 43.
The only thing I'll say, and the NBA is great at revealing this at the end of the season, is even the guys at the end of benches and guys that struggle to get minutes throughout their career, they're still so good at basketball that it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring 43 for Pat is honestly like a career achievement type of thing. But, I mean, just the shots he was making, the way he was playing, it is... when people say, oh, I could beat the worst like NBA player, no, you couldn't. I think if I put enough cocktails in you, I could probably get you to think you could beat a Brian Scalabrine or someone along those lines. But I just want you to remember this Pat C moment.
That's true. All right, well, that'll do it for us. We are back with you Wednesday, talking more Packers as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft coming up next week, which we'll be spending all week with you up there. In Green Bay next week, big thanks to Hunter, big thanks to Joshy. Joshy talking about the Masters. What a day we had today. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace!